to Our Lady of the Rosary with our holy hour beforehand, we learn tonight about the responsorial psalm. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. We must hear his voice through faith so that our hearts don't become hardened or sealed, set apart from God's will. That was a test the Jews encountered in the wilderness. Their hearts had become hardened. They would not trust in God. They lacked faith. We are told to increase our faith. Even the minor prophet Habakkuk reminds us to increase our faith. Come to God. Cry out to him. Ask for your faith to be increased. The question, however, was posed to me at 6 o'clock this morning out the front of the church. What is faith? Because in one paper it talked about have faith in the dogs, and another paper said pray for the swans. In neither case, prayer or faith makes sense. We understand the sentiments, and we are either sad or glad, depending on which team we've followed this afternoon. But how curious it is, as people become more secular, more anti-Christian, more anti-religious, that our words, prayer, faith, tend to be assumed or assimilated into their agenda. And sadly, for some people, football is an idol. And therefore they talk about, oh, miraculous mark! Oh, they're so stupendous! Awesome! Once miracles referred to divine interventions, and God alone was regarded as awesome. That anyone who takes a tremendous mark or kicks one of those extraordinary goals is awesome. It is curious, you can do a study on what has happened. But irrespective of that, let us be noteful of this one point. What's the difference between faith and I hope that the dogs win? Did they win? I ask you. Now, the difference in faith here lies upon the word belief. In the bulletin, I've put the definition of faith. Faith is believing, not knowing. Faith is a belief in divine truths God has told us that we don't know, but we believe. Now, I don't know who won the game this afternoon. I was watching it all afternoon. It's a tremendous football match. Most exciting, people on both sides, but I don't know who won because I had to come over here at 5 o'clock. That's okay, I don't know because I never saw the final mark, goal or whatever. I never saw the stats, but I did ask somebody I trusted as I was going to the back sacristy. I asked them who won. Notice I don't know, they do know, and I believe in what that person told me. In other words, I trust that person enough, in spite of not knowing, to believe that what he told me is true. And what he told me was that the Bulldogs won. Is that true or false? Notice the difference? I don't know that, but I believe that. Make the separation in your mind. There's many things you may know, other things you believe. Why do you believe? Because someone else has given it authenticity, or you trust their advice. You're standing at a bus sign. The bus says, the bus will pass by at 9:15. You're waiting there at 9:14. You hope and you believe that the bus will come at 9:15. You don't know it will come at 9:15, but you believe because the sign says so. You hop into an elevator that goes to the 34th floor. When you hop into the elevator, you believe that you shall arrive. You hope you shall arrive, but you don't know. Because sometimes there might be a shortage, a power outage, and you might get stuck on the 30th floor or in between the floors. So make the distinction between believing and knowing. Now, belief in faith belongs to God. It's his domain. He's told us certain divine, supernatural, spiritual truths. And we don't know them, but we believe them. Why? Because Christ has taught us those truths, and Christ is God, and God, unlike you and I, he cannot lie. And that is a great reason why we believe. And of course, the more beliefs you accept, the stronger your faith. And sadly, too many people, because they haven't been catechized, don't believe enough. And therefore, their faith is very narrow or shallow. The more you read, the more you believe, the stronger your faith. And the more faith you have, the more you trust in God and rely on the effectiveness of prayer. When people say they're praying for this team or that, I wonder whether they're praying to God or just having a spiritual thought. Because prayer ought to have a certain format to it. We should know, for example, who is the object of our prayer. Is it God or some wishful desire of the heart? It ought to be God. And in this month of October, which is the month of the Rosary, we pray to God through his mother Mary. Simply because he said, listen to her. And we do whatever she tells us. And the month of the Rosary is a good time to recast our desire to say the Rosary every day. And that's one reason why we're having this novena of holy hours, to help us realise the value of the Rosary. The value for it in our families, our future. The world is in crisis. What can we do? What political party will solve our problems? At the end of the day, God alone can help us. It has given us the recipe on how we can resolve our issues. And one of those great ingredients is the Rosary. It works. It's a heart, head and hands reality. It involves your mind. It involves the desires of your heart, but also you're using your body as you're fingering the beads, counting them down. It's not vain repetition because you're focusing, meditating on the divine mysteries, the truths that we believe in, that we hope one day will be fulfilled when we meet God face to face. And one person who lived out the Rosary in her own life and saw God's path very clearly in spite of depression, suffering, bitterness, sadness, and eventually tuberculosis was Saint Therese of the Child Jesus. It's her feast day today, the beginning of the month of October. She was a Carmelite nun. Her parents, by the way, are saints in heaven. And it all got back to daily praying the Rosary. It was something they would never miss within the home. As they would feed their bodies, each day they fed their souls by listening to the Word of God and by fingering the beads. No wonder so many of the children became such good religious. And of course, you know the story of Saint Therese, who died at the age of 24 at Lisieux in France. She was told under obedience to write her own story, which became a story of the soul. That book made her a doctor of the church. And the book is most valuable for all of us because you'll see something of your own life in her journey. It's the journey of the little way, the way of love. We come to God and we ask him to inspire us to soak up such great individuals in our church's history, to read their lives, because where they are, please God, we hope one day we shall be. Praise be Jesus Christ.